So the smell of corned beef reminds me of my mom cooking in the kitchen on April Fool's Day and also on St. Patrick's Day. My mom would make corned beef brisket. We would tear it up. We would dip it into mustard. We would eat with our hands. It was one of the only times we got the opportunity to do that. So whenever I smell corned beef brisket, I think of my beautiful, lovely mother. Whenever I see little kids walking around in white waffle t-shirts, this is kind of what we would consider a type of waffle t-shirt. Whenever I see kids in white waffle pajamas, it automatically brings me back to going to the mall with my family with pink and blue balloons, sitting in this studio of a white background taking Christmas photos that they would send out to friends and family. That picture has been hanging in my dad's office for 30 years now. And so whenever I see little kids in these white waffly like kind of pajamas, I think back to that experience and specifically to that picture. The song, good morning, good morning, good morning, it's time to rise and shine. Have you ever heard that song before? Whenever I hear that song, I think back to my mom walking into my room when I was in elementary school, and she would say, good morning, good morning, and she would sing the song. She'd take the comforters off me, and she would ask me to get up. That song brings me back to those specific memories. The song, This Little Light of Mine, brings me back to church. When I was in elementary school and preschool, I remember that song. Whenever I hear that song, whenever I hear Lucy, my 4.5-year-old daughter, sing that song, I get brought back to that specific memory. Whenever I cross by creeks, I think back to the creek in front of my house that my brother and I used to play in. We would play in this creek, and so whenever I see creeks, oftentimes I go back to those playful memories. Whenever I see tree houses, I think of David Alden, who lived across the street from me, who his dad for Christmas built him this epic tree house that had one of those big zip lines going from the tree house to his house. And so whenever I see zip lines or tree houses, I think of David Alden and our times growing up together when we were young. Whenever I see the movie Mr. Donut Man, who probably none of you have ever seen, I can't believe they ever actually published this movie, but I go back to my grandma's house around her big fireplaces, and I remember watching that movie Mr. Donut Man. It was a typical cheesy Christian movie growing up that taught about God's principles that was awesome. And so whenever I see that movie, which never happens, it brings me back to that. Whenever I see costumes or Halloween, or I see my daughter and her friends pretending to be a police officer or pretending to play house, and my daughter has a fake pretend name and her friends have pretend names and they call each other by pretend names, right? And they're the pretend firefighter or the pretend babysitter or whatever it is. It brings me back to when I was young. And my siblings and I, we would play pretend, right? And you'd be pretend whatever, but we would play those things. All of these smells, movies, songs, items, things, they bring me back to when I was young. So here's what I want you to do for 30 seconds with your neighbor, whoever's by you. I want you to turn to your neighbor, and I want you to answer this question to your neighbor. What song, smells, movies, games, or things bring you back to when you were young? Ready, go. You have 30 seconds. All right, I want to hear some of them. Just shout them out. A song, a movie, a game. What makes you think about when you were young? What are they? I want to hear from them. Shout them what? Yes, in this section.
Sorry.
Sorry, the game? Yes. Yes. What other from this section?
How I Grinched Stole Christmas.
Yes. Okay, great. That movie, yep. Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift brings you back to when you were young. Great, I love it. VeggieTales, yes. Yes, that's a great one. Any songs? Any songs? You had Taylor Swift. Any other songs bring you back to when you're young?
You Are My Sunshine.
You are, yeah, great. I love it. You Are My Sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. Oh, how I love you, my only sunshine. Don't ever take it away. I think I rewrote the end of that song just now. Okay. What do you think an adult means when they make the statement, I wish I were young again? Raise your hand if you've ever heard an adult make that statement. Okay. Or maybe you've even made that statement. Okay. Take 30 more seconds. I want you to turn to your neighbor. What do you think they mean when they say that statement? What do you think they mean? Go. Okay, I want some answers. Let's get an answer from this section first. Yes.
No responsibility.
So what they're saying is they're saying, man, I wish I was back at this season where I just didn't have a lot of responsibilities. Okay. What about this section? What was one of your answers? Right here, Esther. The energy of being a kid. They miss all that energy, not being so tired. Yeah. Someone said less stress. Yeah. They kind of go, man, I wish I was back where I just didn't have to stress about anything. Yeah, Andrew. Oh, yeah. Ooh, the redo. Yeah, I wish I was young and I'd redo that. I'd set this up differently. Justice, you had one.
Way less pessimism.
Yeah, not as pessimistic when you're young. They want to go back to that side. Yeah, to the back. Nick, you go first.
They wish their bodies felt young again. They weren't physically, like, in whatever.
Okay. Yep, I like that. Steven was going to say the same thing. Copycat. Love it. So, yeah. When we look at stress, we wish, I think that you guys hit it on the head. I think when, as we get older, as high schoolers, junior highers, adults, I think what we're saying when we wish we could go back to childhood or our youth is I think as we get older, pressures on our body, stresses on our body, life pressure, life stress, I think all that starts to kind of build where we go, man, I wish we could go back where I just pretended to play firefighter, 3 years old, in my living room. I thought of nothing but just being that firefighter, being in that pretend role. When my mom would walk in and sing that song to me, I didn't think of any pressures from the day. I just thought I get to get up and I get to play dress up as Cinderella, right? So stress, what is stress? The state of mental... I mean, I only did that a couple of times. I find myself doing that more now as a dad to a daughter. I dress up as Cinderella often. Oh, gosh, I wish I was young again. All right, stress. The state of mental or emotional strain or tension resulting from adverse or very demanding circumstances. If you're not following along with us in your bulletin this morning, I would encourage you to. This is one of the first fill in the blanks this morning, so make sure you're following along so that you can help retain and learn from this morning. The state of mental or emotional strain or tension resulting from adverse or very demanding circumstances. As we get older, the stress of making money, of what people think of us, academic pressures, of relational pressures, of friendship dynamics. As we grow up, the stress of these things become more. My 4-year-old daughter, Andrew's soon to be newborn, is not going to have these stresses of making money yet, or of what people think of them, or the academic pressures. Lucy hasn't started school yet. Those things haven't kicked in yet. And so oftentimes, I think you guys hit it on the head. We want to go back to being young again because pressures don't really seem to exist yet. Those stresses of these things, they don't start popping up. And every year that we get older, these things seem to increase more and more. You guys will get older and have families and stuff, and you'll be like, oh, man, I wish I had went back to the smaller pressures of high school, where right now those weigh on us, right? But typically, as we get older, some of these stresses start to pop up more and more and more in heavier ways. So we are in a series called Stressed Out, Balancing Life's Pressures. So as life grows, as we get older, life's pressures grow, and figuring out how to balance those happens or needs to happen more and more. So where I want us to start this morning is I want us to start with 21 Pilots' song Stressed Out on their Blurry Face album. How many 21 Pilot fans do we have in here? Raise your hand. Okay, a small few. So how many of you have never heard of 21 Pilots? Okay, so everyone's heard of 21 Pilots. Okay, so they have some great lyrical content. And this is a song that I actually think they kind of almost give a sermon in their song better than the sermon I will give you today. So what I want to do is we're going to read through these lyrics together. As I read through them, I want you to just kind of take some notes, think through them, what sticks out to you, what message do you think it's telling you about being stressed, and things of that sort, okay? One of the things that I want you to look for is as I kind of discerned and discovered and kind of tried to study this song this week, it seemed as though they give two main reasonings for stress. I want you to see if you can pick up on the two main reasonings that they seem to pick up on for stress. Now, they may just make a blanket statement for everyone. I think they're probably referring to their specific stress, and it may correlate with us or just in general. But see if you can pick up on those, right? I'll read it out loud. I want you guys to follow along, and then feel free to doodle notes in your bulletin as so. I wish I found some better sounds no one's ever heard. I wish I had a better voice that sang some better words. I wish I found some chords in an order that is new. I wish I didn't have to rhyme every time I sang. Pick up on this here, okay? It's I wish I. What's he saying there? I wish I. Is he wishing he was someone different? Is he wishing he was more unique? Okay, what's he saying there? I was told when I get older, all my fears would shrink. But now I'm insecure and I care what people think. Now, I'm curious here as I was thinking about this line, all my fears would shrink. I'm curious if those are like the kid fears of like a monster in my closet or the fears of like mom and dad dying. Like, I know Lucy's come into our office or my room before and she's been like, Dad, are you gonna die? So maybe he's talking about these fears. No, I mean, that's a real thing. She has. She's come in and be like my grandma died, and we've talked about that. My brother's cat just died. We've talked about that. So death, she's starting to understand death, and so she'll come in and be like, Daddy, you're going to die. I want you to be here, right? So I wonder if I was told when I get older, all my fears would shrink. I wonder if they were meaning like, as you get older, you're mature, and you won't be afraid of the monster in the closet. I'm curious, and maybe you guys can figure that out. But now, he's saying, but now I am older, and I'm insecure, and I care what people think. So does he feel lied to there? I don't know. You decide. My name's Blurry Face, and I care what you think. My name's Blurry Face, and I care what you think. Now, Blurry Face, whenever you watch like a documentary of somebody who doesn't want to be seen, what do to their face? They blurry their face, okay? So kind of pick up maybe on what he's doing. Wish we could turn back time to the good old days when our mama sang us to sleep, but now we're stressed out. Wish we could turn back time to the good old days when our mama sang us to sleep, but now we're stressed out. We're stressed out. Sometimes a certain smell will take me back to when I was young. How come I'm never able to identify where it's coming from? I'd make a candle out of it if I ever found it. Try to sell it. Never sell out of it. I'd probably only sell one. He's saying, man, if I could capture my childhood into this smell of a candle, man, I would make that and I would love it because every time I'd smell it, it'd bring me back there. But he's basically saying here that he realizes that's really only relevant to him, right? The song, Good Morning, Good Morning, Good Morning, I love the smell of that candle. But for you guys, that wouldn't be a candle you would want to smell. And he's recognizing, hey, all these life experiences that I have when I was young are unique to me. But then he talks about his brother. It'd be to my brother, because we have the same nose, same clothes, homegrown, a stone's throw from a creek we used to roam. Sounds like a memory he's kind of talking about there. Maybe his brother would kind of like that same smell of the candle of his youth memories. But it would remind us of when nothing really mattered. You guys kind of said this, right? We want to go back to our young. It would remind us of when nothing really mattered. Out of student loans, Start picking up. You're going to see a theme here. And treehouse homes, we all would take the latter. Again, he's saying adult is money stuff, right? Kid is treehouse homes. And he's saying all of us would take the treehouse homes. We'd all go back to our youth. My name's Blurry Face, and I care about what you think. My name's Blurry Face, and I care about what you think. Wish we could turn back time to the good old days when a mama sings us to sleep, but now we're stressed out. Wish we could turn back time to the good old days when our mama sang us to sleep, but now we're stressed out. We used to play pretend, give each other different names. We would build a rocket ship, and then we'd fly it far away. Used to dream of outer space, but now they're laughing at our face, saying, wake up, you need to make money. We used to play pretend, give each other different names. We would build a rocket ship, and then we'd fly it far away. Used to dream of outer space, but now they're laughing at our face, saying, wake up, you need to make money. Wish we could turn back time to the good old days when our mama sang us to sleep, but now we're stressed out. Wish we could turn back time to the good old days. And then he repeats that again. When our mama sang us to sleep, but now we're stressed out. Used to play pretend, bunny. We used to play pretend. Wake up, you need the money. Interesting right here. He's talking about being playing pretend bunny. But now, hey, you gotta wake up. You're getting older. You need to go make money. Used to play pretend, used to play pretend bunny. We used to play pretend. Wake up, you need the money. We used to play pretend, give each other different names. We would build a rocket ship, and then we'd fly it far away. Used to dream of outer space, but now they're laughing at our face, saying, wake up, you need to make money. All right, so maybe some stuff kind of stood out there, whatever it is. Now what I want us to do is we're going to watch the music video, and I want you to listen to it again. See if anything new stands out. See what message you think is coming across, okay? If we get those lights, and then I want you to kind of just look up here and watch. I'll let you do it, John. I wish I found some better sounds no one's ever heard. I wish I had a better voice that sang some better words. I wish I found some chords in an order that is new. I wish I didn't have to rhyme every time I sang. I was told when I get older all my fears would shrink, but now I'm insecure and I care what people think. My name's Blurry Face and I care what you think. My name's Blurry Face and I care what you think. Wish we could turn back time to the good old days when the mama sang us to sleep, but now we're stressed out. Wish we could turn back time to the good old days when the mama sang us to sleep, but now we're stressed out. We're stressed out. Sometimes a certain smell will take me back to when I was young. How come I'm never able to identify where it's coming from? I'd make a candle out of it if I ever found it. Try to sell it, never sell out of it. I'd probably only sell one. Maybe to my brother, cause we have the same nose. Same clothes, homegrown, a stone's throw from a creek we used to roam. But it would remind us of when nothing really mattered. Out of student loans and treehouse homes, we all would take the ladder. My name's Blurry Face and I care what you think. My name's Blurry Face and I care what you think. Wish we could turn back time to the good old days when the mama sang us to sleep, but now we're stressed out. Wish we could turn back time to the good old days when the mama sang us to sleep.
by the different names. We would build a rocket ship and then we'd fly it far away. Used to dream of outer space, but now they're laughing at the face, saying, wake up, you need to make money. Yeah. We used to play pretend, give each other different names. We would build a rocket ship and then we'd fly it far away. Used to dream of outer space, but now they're laughing at the face, saying, wake up, you need to make money. Yeah. Wish we could turn back time to the good old days, when the mama sang us to sleep, but now we're stressed out. Wish we could turn back time to the good old days, when the mama sang us to sleep, but now we're stressed out.
We used to play pretend, used to play pretend, money. We used to play pretend, wake up, you need the money. Used to play pretend, used to play pretend, money. We used to play pretend, wake up, you need the money. Play pretend, give each other different names. We would build a rocket ship and then we fly far away. Used to dream of outer space, but now they're laughing at the face, saying, wake up, you need to make money. Yeah.
All right. Turn to your neighbor, and I want you to answer this question. Talk about it. What did the song Stressed Out seem to give as their two main reasons for stress? I'll give you 30 seconds. Ready, go. Now, there may have been more in there, but I think there was two specific ones that really stuck out that I think they seem to be saying. All right, anybody catch one of them? What was one that you think seemed pretty obvious that they were saying? Yes, money. Yep, it seemed as though money was woven all throughout there in very, like, straightforward ways and then even in some not-so-straightforward ways. Okay, what was the second one? Yes. Yep. Those were the two that I found too. Those seemed very obvious that what seemed to kind of be this stress is caring what other people think about them and this pressure, this stress, this demand to make money. Okay. Great. All right. So what I wanted to do this morning is we're just in this 1 week off kind of mini series because as I've surveyed you guys at the end of every year and as my job as your pastor is to sit with you guys, to love on you guys, to spiritually direct you guys. It's obvious that there's a lot of stress and pressure. And at the end of every year, when I say, hey, what things do you want us to look through kind of with a biblical worldview, it was really popular of I want to talk about stresses and pressure. So maybe not all of you fall into this category, but I'm very certain that a handful of us in this room feel really stressed, feel a ton of pressure, feel a lot of demands on our life, and a lot of us would probably go back to the good old days. A lot of us would probably go back to when we didn't have any of those pressures. Again, I think of my 4.5-year-old daughter. She's not in school. She doesn't have a job. She gets to wake up and play pretend baby dolls all day long. And some of us in this room may say, man, I really want to go back to the good old days because right now I'm just always anxious. Maybe you have panic attacks a lot. Maybe you have anxiety attacks. Maybe you're on medication to help with some of your depression. And so I want to realize that 1 week of talking about this isn't going to solve anything, but as we do in our youth ministry, I don't want to be afraid to talk about stuff. Let's talk about the things that we're in. And so some of us is going to hit hard, and I hope that that's really good. And for others of us that maybe we don't feel those stresses or pressures, maybe there's an encouragement in this today that maybe you walk away and you're like, man, I think that maybe I'm leaning on God in some of these ways or things of that sort. Okay, but here's what I want to do. I want us to take a reality check. So go back into your bulletin this morning. Here's what I want you to do. I've got a handful of things listed that I want to kind of help you have a reality check of maybe how stressed out you are or you aren't. So here's what I want you to do. To what degree do you identify with the following statements? So on your bulletin, and I'll put them up here, I've given about 10 to 15 statements. They're not questions, they're statements. And I want you to relate with each statement. One, meaning you never do this, you don't relate to it at all. Number two, meaning you identify, or number five, meaning you always identify with it. So let's go through number one together. The statement is, I get nervous and lose sleep over upcoming exams. Rate yourself a 1 if that never happens. Rate yourself a 5 if that always happens, and then in between. So a 2 if it rarely happens, 3 occasionally, 4 pretty frequently, and then 5 always. There's never a time where it doesn't, okay? And then we'll walk through these. I'll give you maybe 5 or 10 seconds in each one to think through it. Number 2, I get anxious when I think about life after high school. I never do, rarely, but sometimes. Occasionally, yeah, it's there, maybe 50-50. Frequently, yeah, probably 75% of the time. And then always, yeah, whenever I think about life after high school, I always get anxious. Number 3, I get worried I won't be liked or accepted by my peers. No, I never really get worried that people won't like or accept me. Yeah, a good chunk of the time I do. No. Oh, I always do. I always get worried that people won't like or accept me. Next, I feel pressure from my parents, coaches, teachers, and other adults to succeed. I feel pressure from my parents to succeed. I feel pressure from my coaches. I feel pressure from my teachers. I feel pressure from other adults to succeed. I find it difficult to disconnect completely from my cell phone. I find it difficult. And this only works if you give an honest assessment, right? So I'm not going to ask you guys for these. You don't have to turn them in. I'm doing this for you to actually assess yourself. This is for no one else. So if you want to just do it in your head because you're afraid someone's going to find yours, that's fine. But I want you to be honest with yourself. I find it difficult to disconnect completely from my cell phone. Maybe think of it this way. We get ready to go to Hume and you know you're going to be away from your phone for a week. How does that make you feel? Maybe you're getting ready to go on that international mission trip with us and you're going to be away from it for 15 days and your Snapchat streak is going to end. How does that make you feel? Maybe mom and dad have a rule in the house that you can't sleep with your phone in your room or your phone shuts off at a certain time. So when that happens, how does that make you feel? Is that difficult? No, it's not at all. I leave for Hume, I don't even think about it. Or yeah, actually I have separation anxiety when I'm away from my phone. When I engage in social media, I care too much, keywords there, about what other people think. When I engage in social media, I care too much about what other people think. Maybe you post that photo and you're checking that photo every 30 seconds to see. And if it doesn't get over 100 likes, man, it really affects you. Like it actually changes your day. When I engage in social media, I care too much. 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. School, sports, church, and extracurricular activities demand too much of my time. School, church, sports, and extracurricular activities demand too much of my time. Yeah, all my time is taken by this. Man, I don't have any time. Give yourself a 5. No, I don't. I'm not in a sport. Oh, school is fine as long as I get C's. Yeah, church is cool. I come Sundays, Wednesdays. Yeah, I'm not in a club. I feel insecure, discontent about how smart I am. I feel insecure, discontent. Catch the first part of his line. I wish I could write better songs. I wish I sounded better. I wish I didn't have to rhyme. Would you say, I wish I was smarter? Do you feel insecure or discontent about maybe how smart you think you are? Next, I feel insecure, discontent about how I look. I wish I looked different. I wish I looked taller. I wish I looked slimmer. I wish I looked clearer in my skin. I wish I looked blah, blah, blah. I feel insecure, discontent about how I look. Again, give yourself an honest assessment here. I feel insecure, discontent about my athletic abilities. I feel insecure, discontent. Now, maybe you have no athletic abilities and you're fine with it. Then the answer would be never. I didn't have any athletic abilities, but the lack of them I wasn't insecure about either. I feel insecure, discontent about my friendships. I wish I had more friends. I wish I had better friends. I wish I had nicer friends. I wish I had more loyal friends. I wish I was a better friend to my friends. I'm insecure, discontent about money. Man, I wish my family had more money. Man, I wish I had more money. Do whatever I want. Buy that Xbox when I want it. Get that sweet car that I don't have. My buddy's got a Beamer. Why don't I? I'm insecure, discontent about money. Now, I want you to go back through your list and just kind of on your own, what's causing you stressed? Are you stressed out? You make the analysis. If you've got fives on all these, there's a good chance you're probably really stressed out. Maybe you look at just the few that you have fours or fives on. Maybe all of yours are kind of lingering over three or five. Maybe you've got ones on a lot, but then there's just one or two that you're like, okay, in this area, the athletic ability, but man, this area, there's something there when it comes to maybe my cell phone. Or, there's something there when it comes to these commitments. So you kind of decide what's your stress level. Did you have a lot of fives? Did you have any fives? Do you have any fours? Is your sheet a bunch of ones? I thought it was important this morning as we talk about this to actually do some sort of, now this wasn't an exhaustive list. I sat in my office and kind of tried to think through where I was in high school and tried to think about you guys. And I sat with Mark Page, my boss, to kind of try to brainstorm with him, like, hey, do you think these are good kind of analysis questions? And I get this isn't an exhaustive list. I came up with this. Maybe some are good. Maybe some are wrong. But what I wanted to do was I kind of wanted you to just have a self-awareness. Because if we're not honest with ourselves, then we really can't move forward or backwards. We need to know kind of, okay, where are we? All right? So everybody do their reality check. Maybe you like your reality check. Maybe you don't. Maybe it's new to you. Maybe it's not new to you. Maybe you're like, wow, this is great. Okay. So here's the solution. The solution is we're just going to turn back time to the good old days. That's what we're going to do. No, we're not. Just kidding. The solution is that as Christians, we're going to look to God. Guys, I want to beat this over our heads as we just finished our What's Your Worldview series, where anytime we come to something in life, I want us to ask the question, and I want us to go to God. So maybe some of you this morning are sitting here and you're like, yes, I'm stressed out. I feel like the demands are all over me. I feel like the pressures are crazy. Well, then I want us to spend the remainder of our time together this morning going to God's word. A question that we've asked before in this youth group that I think is a great question is, what response would please Jesus most? So when we look at stress, what response to stress would please Jesus most? These pressures of life are going to exist. There's nothing we can do about it. Commitments are going to come and we get to say yes or no. Money is going to be an issue. We get to decide how we want to handle it. You may get married. You're going to have school. You're going to have jobs. The realities are there. We can't get away from the realities. So then, what response to these realities when we feel stress, when we feel worry, when we feel anxiety, when we have a ton on our plate, what response would please Jesus? If Jesus were here as a buddy sitting next to you this morning, and you were to say, hey, I'm really stressed out, and you were to tell Jesus your response, what response would he look at and be like, yeah, I think that's a good response to your stress. I like this question. And you can include, you can replace the word stress with anything. What response to this specific friendship would please Jesus most? What response to my college decisions would please Jesus most? What response to the job that I'm in? What response to this teacher that I hate at school right now that I think is unfair? So we're going to look to God. As Christians, that's what we get to do. So whenever we look to God or the Bible for answers, there's two main places I like to start with, and maybe you kind of write this in your side note or something. The first place is, because, right, we ask this question, and then we see this, and we're like, ooh, that's overwhelming. There's like 7,000 pages in here, or a lot of pages. There's 1,200 in mine, right? So here's what I like to do first. What I like to do first is I like to sit and say, okay. Now, again, This is not, you can approach it however you want. I'm just telling you how I approach these things. First, the way I approach it is there a particular character in the Bible? Are there stories in the Bible? Is there a person in the Bible that I can relate to? So as I was preparing this week, I sat and said, okay, is there anyone in the Bible that was stressed out? Is there anyone in the Bible that had a lot on their plate? Is there anyone in the Bible that felt a lot of these things that maybe I could learn something from? Because we always want to be people where we're looking at people ahead of us who have been where we are and who have figured it out with a pleasing response to Jesus, and we want to say, okay, let's role model after them. It's why we want to be like Jesus, because Jesus was perfect. And so we look at his life and we say, okay, I'm going to role model after that life. Okay, so lots of examples we could find in the Bible for this. There was a very clear example that I thought would be great for us to go through, and it's the example of the Apostle Paul. So grab your Bibles out this morning, and I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians, and I don't have it marked up here. I want to say it's 2 Corinthians 11. Let me find it here. Get it, baby. Get that thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verses 24 to 28. Now, I'm not going to read it, but I'm gonna kind of lay it out here for you. So here was the Apostle Paul's life. Now, Apostle Paul, in 2 Corinthians, he's talking to a group of people. These people haven't reached out to him lately. He gets why. And he starts to kind of explain how his life has looked and consisted. Okay? Now, you tell me at the end of this if Paul had any reason for stress. All right? This is coming straight from the Bible, by the way. This isn't a commentary. It's straight from here. Okay, Paul was lashed 5 times with 39 lashes. So 40 lashes were to kill a man. So 5 separate occasions, he was lashed and beaten 39 times, 1 time away from taking his life. That happened 5 times. 3 times, he was beaten with rods. 1 time, he was pelted with stones. 3 times, he was shipwrecked. Okay, curious what those looked like. 1 night and day in the open sea. We read through this stuff really quick, but when you sit with this, this is one of my worst nightmares. Have you ever seen the movie, I think it's called Open Ocean, where this couple is stranded in the middle of the freaking ocean? No lights, no, like, oh my gosh, that's my biggest fear in the entire world, okay? Always on the move. He said he's constantly moving. Moving alone brings me stress. When my wife and I hate packing. How many of you hate packing in here? The idea when you get older of moving your house and packing it is horrible. He said he's constantly on the move. Now, he probably doesn't have houses that he's packing. He's probably not calling some moving company, right? But he's constantly moving. He has no home stability, all right? He's in danger from rivers, it says. It says he's in danger from bandits. He's in danger from fellow Jews. He's in danger from Gentiles. And he's also in danger from false believers. The dude, I read this and I think he's always walking around like looking all over, like just thinking like, okay, is there bandits? Is there rivers? Is there, I mean, and he includes his like, not even people, but just like stuff. He's in danger in cities. He's in danger in the country. He's in danger in the sea, he goes on to say. Then he finishes by saying that he has labored and toiled. He has often gone without any sleep. He's gone hungry and thirsty, and it doesn't feel like this is necessarily for spiritual fasting reasons. Although I know Paul did that as well, but I'm assuming here he's talking about like, he just actually can't find food or water, right? And he's shipwrecked or whatever it is. He's been cold and naked. Like, just take a second. I wonder what that looked like. Like, is he in the middle of the desert and he gets robbed by someone? Maybe that's one of the times where he was pelted with stones and he gets taken from everything and he's in the middle of the desert all alone, cold and naked before he finds a new city to be able to go in and have somebody give him clothes. Like, I wonder what that looks like. So I think the Apostle Paul is a great example. So you tell me, oh, and then here's what he finishes in 2 Corinthians. At the end of the section, he says this. This is awesome. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressures of my concern for all the churches. So he says, minus all of that, I also face this pressure of wanting to be in concern for you guys. I hold that burden of, are the churches okay? That's why he writes all these letters to churches, right? So he says, besides all of that, man, I hold this pressure for you guys as a church. Am I serving you well enough? Are you doing okay? Are my letters hitting you where they need to hit you? Am I being faithful enough? So Apostle Paul, I think, is a great example for us to go to. And here's what's fascinating. We're going to turn to Philippians. If you want to turn there now, you can. Most of you probably know where I'm going. So the question is, did Paul live a stressed out life all the time, or did he find an answer? So with that list, was Paul just always stressed out all the time? I mean, was he always just worried? Was he always having panic attacks each night because he had no idea if he was going to get beaten with a rod again the next day? Or did he actually find an answer? Well, he actually tells us in Philippians 4, verses 10 through 13, and here's his answer I want us to read through. He says this. Now just listen to this in light of hearing everything that we just talked about. Here's what he says. I've learned to be content. Now, I added in these two red things, stress-free here, to kind of help us understand. I've learned to be without stress. I've learned to be without anxiousness. I've learned to be content. Okay. Whatever the circumstance, whatever. Now, this should make a lot more sense now that we just went through his list. Whatever, he's saying. Okay. You mean being in the sea for a day and night? That? Are you talking about that? You mean being pelted by stones? Wait, whatever? Is that included in there? I know what it is to be in need. Yep, we just figured that out. You do know what it is to be in need. And I know what it is to have plenty. So he's talking about times in his life where he had more than enough. I've learned, here it is, guys, the secret of being stress-free. He's going to give you the answer. He's saying he's learned it. He's figured it out in his big old rap sheet of stuff. In any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, here's the answer. We've heard it before. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Here's what he's saying. I can get through any adversity because he gives me strength. I can get through all of it. I might not like it. It might not be fun, but I can be content and I can do it because he gives me strength. Easier said than done. We're going to try to break it down a little bit more. I get that, but let's not get ahead of ourselves yet. He does give an answer. And the answer is, I serve the God Almighty. The answer is, he gives me strength. So I thought it important for us to look at where in Scripture does it talk about God giving us strength. And it lists quite a bit. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to pick one of those. I don't care which one. Pick one or two of them, each of you, and just go through them. Just pick one and turn to it. So I want some of you to go. I want each one. So a couple of you picked the Isaiah 41:10. Okay, so maybe a few of you raise your hand. Okay, great. I want a couple of you to pick 2 Corinthians 12:9. Then I want another group of you, Psalm 73. Then I want one or two of you, 2 Samuel, Isaiah 40, Psalm 29. Okay, and I'm going to ask, so turn there, figure out which one. When I call one of these, I want you to stand up and I want you to read it. Okay, so here's the thing. This isn't just an answer that Paul gives just because. It's because Paul was well-versed in Jesus and God. He was well-versed in the Scriptures. He knew who God was. And so it is safe to say that Paul is grabbing strength from the area that we are this morning. And so I want us to see why Paul got to where he got. All right? Okay. Isaiah 41:10. Stand up and just read it. We're going to try to go through these fast. Isaiah 41:10. Just stand up and you can read it. Nice and loud.
So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I'll strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
Love it. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Somebody stand up. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Yep, go for it.
But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses,
so that Christ's power may rest in me.
Amen. Psalm 73, 26.
My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever.
Amen. 2 Samuel 22, 33.
God is my strong fortress. He has made my way safe.
Amen. Isaiah 40, 29. Psalm 29:11.
The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace.
Ooh, I love that. Exodus 15:2.
The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him.
Awesome. Thanks, Justice. Psalm 46:1. Lastly, Psalm 59:16.
And I will sing of your strength. I will sing aloud of your steadfast love in the morning. For you have been to me a fortress and a refuge in the day of my distress.
Is that awesome? It's scattered all throughout the Bible. Paul's not just saying this. He's saying, man, as I go to God's word to figure out how in the world can I figure out some sort of stress-free lifestyle, what do? I go to God for strength. He gives me peace. He's my ever-present strength in times of trouble. Oh, man, write these down. Put these on note cards. Throw them in your room. Memorize them. Put them on your hand. Tattoo them on your wrist for every time you look at it. Paul says, the way I'm content, the way I live without stress is this. Okay, so that's the first thing we do when we look at what response about stress would please Jesus the most. We try to find a character in the Bible. Paul's a great example for this. Now what do? Now we go and we do a word search in the Bible to figure out what does the Bible have to say about stress and worry, okay? There's three specific places where it specifically talks about worry, and so I want to go there. First place I want to go, these are the direct passages. I want you to turn to Matthew 6:34, all of you. Turn to Matthew 6:34 first. So we've looked at Paul. We've looked at a person. There's a lot of different people we could have looked at, all right? I mean, I think of Noah and the ark, the stress that must have been as Noah was building the ark to try to save, like, humanity, basically, and animals, right? Like, that must have been stressful, okay? All right, Matthew 6:34. Who has it? When you have it, stand up. I want you to read it. Matthew 6:34. This is one of the first direct passages. And actually, I'm going to read it because I want to read a little bit more of it. Okay, so turn there to Matthew 6. Okay, here's what he says. Okay, so in my Bible, it titles this section, Do Not Worry. Okay, I'm going to read it quick. Start in verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Underline, highlight that passage right there. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? You should answer that question to yourself on the way home. Does worrying add anything to our life? And I'm open to different answers, but answer that question on your way home. Verse 28, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon in his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? So catch that. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. It's so much simpler than this actually plays out, right? But he's given answers. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Woo-wee. Love it. Next, turn to Philippians 4. We get another passage here that kind of directly talks about this. Philippians 4. I want you to go to verse 6. I'm going to start in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Here's the main passage I want us to focus on. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace, underline, circle, highlight the word peace, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I think this is what Paul did. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation that stresses you out, with prayer and petition meaning asking, begging from God, with a thankful heart, give these requests to him. God, I am so worried about this ACT test. God, I feel like if I don't get it right, I'm not going to get into that college I want to go to. My parents are going to be so angry at me because they've paid $2,000 for 3 ACT courses. God, I can't sleep tonight. God, I'm so thankful that you've given me education. I'm thankful that my parents care about it. I'm thankful that you've given us the financial resources for me to study. God, I give this to you. God, would you help me retain all the time that I put into studying for this ACT? And God, would I trust that whatever happens, you love me, you care for me. But God, you've seen what I've put into the ACT. Thank you for that time you've given me. Lord, I really want to get a good night's sleep tonight. God, would this verse be true tonight? That I can give this to you, and Lord, I can experience your peace that transcends my little understanding. God, I give this to you tonight. Turn one more place. Go to Matthew 11:28. If you went to Hume Lake with us, this should be very, very familiar to you. This was our main group initiative. This has stuck with me since Hume. I have leaned on this a lot this year. This is a phenomenal verse to memorize if you can. Matthew 11:28. This is Jesus talking. He says this. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. It says, come to me, those of you that are stressed out and anxious. Come to me. I'll help you. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. Your soul will find rest like Paul's did in the midst of his tumultuous life, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So we see 3 direct passages here that go right at worry. And then we see an example of Paul, of kind of how he worried a stress-free life. And guys, that's what I wanted to do this morning. This isn't a 6-week series. This is a one-time series that I think is really important. Because a lot of us, we took that reality check today and we're like, yep, we're hitting on all cylinders, on every mark, right? So what do? Well, we try to follow the example of Paul. I mean, that's why God gives us the Bible. That's why these guys go in front of us so we can be like, dude, Paul did it. And I don't know about you, but Paul had way more. When I look at my stuff, I wouldn't complain to Paul and be like, oh yeah, well, I have 5 tests tomorrow and I got to get A's on all of them. Oh, and I'm stressed out about going to college. It's going to cost $250,000. I mean, and not to compare, right? Like, that's not what I'm trying to do. Like, those stresses are real. I feel them, you do. They're real. It's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying, though, is we have an example of someone who can empathize, someone who can overly empathize and understand. And I think that's huge. So don't diminish what you're feeling. That wasn't my intent. We have someone in the Bible who can relate. We have someone in the Bible who has been in tough spots. So we looked at him. We looked at those passages. So what's the solution? Well, when we look at the answer of, what response would please Jesus the most to stress? Here's what I think the solution is based off what we just did this morning. Simpler said than done. And disagree with me if you do from where we went in our Bible study this morning. Don't stress out, but rather give your stress to God and seek him for the strength to be stress-free. I think this is what the Bible's saying. I think, one, the Bible's saying don't. Don't stress out. Okay, that's okay, great, awesome. I won't stress out. But that, now, again, how we get there, we're going to talk about more. Don't stress out, but rather, give your stress to God. Come to me, all who are weary and burdensome. I will give you rest. And seek him for the strength to be stress-free. It's going to be a journey most of us are on for our entire life, and we're going to have good seasons and bad seasons. We're going to have more stressful seasons and less stressful ones. You're never going to perfect this to any degree. You may learn contentment, which is my hope for all of us. But I think the biblical solution, I think the response would be, don't stress out. But Jesus, I give you my worry and my anxiousness, and I'm going to seek you for the strength to help me be stress-free. I think that's the solution. So like I said, how does that play out? How's the application for us? I want to get granular, and I want to try to give you guys like granular stuff to walk away, because even for me, like I believe the solution I just put up there is the answer. But for some of us who like have weekly anxiety attacks, or for some of us who like have so much pressure that we literally like our skin breaks out over it, or our stomach hurts over it, or like we can't get out of bed because we're like, I'm letting everyone down. Like, that's real. I've been there. I get it. And I know some of us in this room do. So for those of us that are in it, like, you're looking at me and you're like, okay, great, Chad. I've prayed. God's not taking it away. I would say, one, it takes a lot of time. Two, it takes being in his word. Like, how many of us have all those strength passages memorized? I don't. I think that's why God says, go to my word to be transformed and renewed. This is why his word is supposed to be on our heart. This is where memory verses, this is why people have passages tattooed on them. Our executive pastor's wife, Tracy Page, has a tattoo of her verse that gets her through anxiety on her skin because she constantly needs to be reminded. This is where a flashcard in your car, taking lipstick and writing on a mirror your verse. So that you're constantly, this is a daily thing. Come to me daily. Bring these things to me daily. So I want to recognize like the work in this, that although the answer is easy, it is really hard. And I want everyone in here to know that I am very sensitive to that, because for the first time in my life, last October, not this past one, the one before, I had the worst anxiety attack. I've never had one before. I called 911 because I thought I was having a heart attack. Never had one before. And you know, I'll just admit to you that I've actually judged people before who have had anxiety attacks. And God really humbled me. And six of these firefighters come in and they take all the tests and they go, you're not having a heart attack. And the guy looks at me and he goes, do you have anything in your life that's causing you stress? And I curl up in the fetal position and I just start bawling. Guys, this was barely a year ago. And I just start crying because I had so much in my life that I was not laying at Jesus' feet. Man, I had family stuff that I didn't want to give him. I still don't want to give him. I had financial stuff where I felt like I was being the worst freaking husband in the world with my family. I felt like I wasn't adding up. I wasn't giving them the things they needed. And man, I sat there and I literally thought I was having a heart attack because it had gotten so much. Guys, I built up a bacterial infection in my stomach. I don't know if any of you noticed how thin I got a year ago. I got down to 130 pounds. I stopped eating. And you want to know what? I went to a doctor, and you want to know what he diagnosed me with? Overly stressed. He said, your stomach is reacting to all the stress in your life. So, guys, I get it. And you want to know what I've been doing the last year? I've been trying to figure out, how do I just go to him? What does it look like? Paul figured it out. I think it is something that we actually can overcome. If you guys know the Jabello family, Jen Jabello would share this story. Maybe I bring it on Wednesday night. Maybe she'd share it. But Jen Jabello used to struggle with like severe anxiety and depression. And she would tell you it doesn't exist in her life anymore. I think this is something that we can overcome. I do. I think it's really hard, but I think we can. But we've got to do it with God. We have to. So I get the sensitivity of it, and I'm in it. God has kicked my booty in it, so I empathize. I get it, man. So here's some very simple things that some of you may be like, this is one of the steps. Okay, here they are. Here's number one. I think social media has a way bigger effect on us than any of us think. And the phones, here's what I mean by it. I think for many of us, the comparison game, the control that it has us think we exhibit that we don't, the desire for need, the desire for friendship. Oftentimes we do homework. How many of you do homework with your phone next to you? You don't have to raise your hand, but probably most of us. Can you try to figure out how often you touch or look at your phone while you're doing homework? It's probably every 30 seconds to 5 minutes. And then when it rings, what do? You lift it up. And then when you lift it up, what do you see? You may see an Instagram post that you weren't included in, and now you feel left out. You may see a text from a friend who's really stoked on something, and you're stoked for them, but you're also stoked that you didn't get into that college and they did, and you're trying to wrestle with how to be excited for them when you're sad for yourself. And then we get back and try to get into another minute of homework. We finally get into a rhythm, and then another ding comes up. And so then we look at that. 3 hours of homework is really 10 minutes of homework because this thing was sitting in front of us. And so maybe you need to just set some boundaries. Doesn't mean the phone is bad. Doesn't mean that, but maybe you need to set some boundaries. Maybe you need to not sleep. My wife and I don't sleep with our phones in our bedroom. And the closet is where our phones stay. When we get home, phone goes in the closet. So that means when I'm watching TV, if I want to check it, I have to get up and go check it. Guess what? I don't check my phone as much. The phone's not evil, but we need to have self-control with it. And so maybe you need to set some boundaries or fast from it. And I'd be curious to see if that helps. I'd just be curious. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. But I'd be curious. My assumption is it may help you a little bit. Say no to stuff. We say yes to a lot of stuff. We say yes to a lot of sports. We say yes to a lot of clubs. We say yes to a lot of things. Say no to something this week. There's a lot of good things out there you don't have to say yes to. You can say no to good stuff. Hey, I want you to be in this Bible study. You know what? I can't do it right now. That's okay. Bible study's good. May be great for you. But may totally stress you out. Say no to stuff. We got to say no to more things. We have too much going on in our life. Number three, ask for help. Find your small group leader this week. Can you help me? I'm stressed. Can you pray for me? Can you memorize this verse for me this week? Can you just pray over me that God would give me the strength? Number four, pray for strength. Prayer changes things. I believe it fully. It is why one of my goals for our youth ministry is that we would become people of prayerfulness. I really wanted to just put one answer up here, and it was prayer. But I also realized that, like, as high schoolers and as adults, like, we need to get, like, nitty-gritty tangible. But, guys, I think prayer is huge. Get on your knees. When's the last time you cried to Jesus? Cry with him. God, I don't want to forgive this person. And because I'm not forgiving him, I can't sleep. Can you help me? God, I got to figure out that I'm more than my grades. My parents tell me that I have to get straight A's to have value, and I know that's not true. Can you help me? I worked my butt off, and I got a B. And my parents make me feel like I'm a failure, but God, I know that that B doesn't identify who I am. We got to pray for strength. God, would you give me the strength? God, I got this really great opportunity that's coming up, but I know I have way too much in my life right now. I got to say no. Can you give me the strength to say no to something that's really, really good? We got to become people of prayerfulness. Sit and sob with Jesus. We see lots of examples of that in Scripture. Cry with him. Man alive, if I had done it this year. The answers are much easier than they actually play out. I get that. This isn't going to happen overnight, but you want to know what's going to be crazy? You may one day look back and count the anxiety time in your life as the greatest blessing you were ever given. You want to know why? Because a little over a year and a half since my anxiety attack, since the paramedics came into my room, I have never been more intimately, emotionally and spiritually connected to Jesus in my entire life. Because guess what? I've had no other choice. The doctors couldn't fix my stomach. People couldn't say the right things. I just had to sit with Jesus. And I'm so grateful for that. And so this season that you may be in of stress, you may look back and say, oh, thank you. I am so much closer to you now. I don't know if Paul would want all that list taken away. I bet you Paul experienced an intimacy with Jesus I probably will never experience. And you know why? Because he went through way more suffering than I'll ever go through. I don't know, and I don't know this, guys, but my assumption is that Paul's actually grateful for that because it brought him to his knees, to a dependency while he's naked and cold that he would have never experienced. Those months, 6 months I went where I literally couldn't eat, like I sat in my bed at night like, God, please teach me forgiveness. And he's taught me that in a way that I don't think I ever would have. So have hope, have strength that this season, as God does, God uses all things for the good of those who follow him. All things. My unforgiveness towards my mom, my hatred towards my parents and their divorce. God has used that in good ways in my soul that I will forever be grateful for. I'm grateful for my parents' mistrials and missteps because they brought me to his throne room. Come to me, all who are weary and burdensome, and I will give you rest. And he's giving me rest. As I learn to do that, he's giving me rest. Will you guys pray with me as we close in worship together this morning? Heavenly Father, God, I needed this message this week. I needed to sit in my office and study these things in-depthly, be reminded of the solution. And God, I have a real strong feeling as I look at the faces out in this audience and I even see some of the tears in people's eyes that a lot of us can relate to Paul. Lord, we're not going to be able to get rid of the stresses in life. They're there. Money is going to be a part of life. Relationships, illness, pain. But you do give an answer. The answer is come to me. Those tears, those of you that are feeling this morning, God's talking to you. He's talking to me. Saying, come to me, come here, stop going back to these things that fill a void that doesn't last. Stop going to numbing your mind in these areas. Stop, come to me, come, lay at my feet, cry with me, scream at me, beg me, because I know how to give good gifts to my kids. You think that God wants us to live a life of anxiety? No, he doesn't. This is a prayer that God promises to answer. So pray it because we know the answer. The answer is he will give us rest. So God, would we beg you for that? And then God, I pray over those in this room this morning that are just feeling it this morning. Maybe they're feeling it so deeply that they don't want to be here anymore. Maybe there's some in this room that actually have suicidal thoughts, that the stress has gotten so freaking crazy. The pressure, the demand has gotten so heavy that they're like, screw it, I'm out. Oh God, I pray over each of us in this room. God, I pray over those that are feeling it, maybe not to that degree, but anywhere in between. God, I'm begging you, I'm asking you this morning to come through with that promise that you will give us rest. God, you've given me that. You're giving me that. And Lord, I know I'm not there. But God, I am so grateful. Oh, would we sing our freaking voices out to you this morning?